This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize We podcast, where we share biohacking truths without the BS. I'm your host, Lindsay O'Neill O'Keefe, and today I'm joined by an amazing human who is doing so many wonderful things in the longevity and anti-aging space. His name is Brian Vaisley. He is a prominent leader and researcher and has been doing this for over 25 years. He's the founder of a very popular, over 500,000 members. It's a platform called theartofantiaging.com. Their mission is really to empower you with the most effective, evidence-based, natural solutions and avoid all of the overwhelm that comes with trying to overcome disease to live a long and happy life. He's also the host of The Art of Anti-Aging's highly respected Healthy Aging Summits, which have impacted so many lives, millions of lives. And he's the founder of Purity Woods, which I am happily using on my skin these days. It's the fastest growing organic, certified organic skincare company. So Brian, without further ado, I want to jump into this amazing career that you've built. Talk all about the things that you're doing for now and in the future. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Lindsay. Great skin, by the way.
Oh, well, I just turned 44 last week or 2 weeks ago, and I get stopped all the time by people who are looking at my skin and saying, I can't believe you're in your 40s. You look like you're in your 20s. I don't do anything toxic to my skin. I use your products as well as castor oil. And then my hair obviously is, you know, grown back after having lots of toxic damage done to it. So I appreciate the work that you've done. And I want to dive into a little bit more about like your background. So 25 years ago, what shifted in your life?
You have to go back even further. So yeah, if you look at me and my skin, I'm 89 years old. No, I'm kidding. I'm not 89. But yeah, I'm in my mid-50s. And my life, honestly, could be cut pretty much at this stage down half. And the first half of life was really rough, and, you know, to say the least in some regards. So as a child, I'm just going to go brief on this. I'm going to give you the story and try to be brief. Up until the age of 9, my father was a very good man, brilliant man, by the way. But then he turned severely alcoholic, because back in those days, you didn't deal with trauma like we are fortunate enough to be able to deal with today. If you went to counseling and et cetera, you were considered a crazy person way back in his generation. So he did not deal with a lot of very serious issues that had happened in his life. He turned severely alcoholic, severely abusive to me, to my sister, to my mother, and, you know, went through years of that. I also grew up very poor in the city of Chicago, in a rough neighborhood where I lost friends to gangs and things of that nature. So it was rough. But to really condense this, you know, as he did finally years later kick the habit, but then he spent 10 years dying, basically in and out of hospitals, sometimes more in than out in any given year. And witnessed my mom trying, you know, she still loved the, you know, my father, even, you know, despite all the challenges, but she was right there with him and all this, and fought a medical system that way back then, from the inside as a older child. And then as a young man, as very inept, I witnessed this firsthand, far more than anyone should ever have to. I was in those hospitals, you know, sometimes for hours and hours with him in the system. So I saw that system. I went through all that. So there was kind of a thing forming here. And myself, I went, you know, had a lot of internal depression, anxiety issues as a young man because of things I had experienced. And there was one consistent factor that literally actually saved my life, and that was powerful women. I am so blessed, so fortunate to have had powerful women in my life. My mother, for sure, is a saint. My sister, years later here, you know, wife, but back then, certain teachers, certain friends, and they all were females, and they stuck by me and they helped me through and they showed me a lot. So I'm really condensing this story down. So I had that, and I'm so grateful. And then I had this experience with the medical system early on. I was poor. I got married too young, you know, the first time around. And but she and I, you know, we did go to school full time while working on my behalf full time, her part time while we had a baby too young together. And now that's my grown son. I have four kids, but that's my grown son who's now a best friend. He's in his 30s himself. But way back then, it was rough. I sometimes had to choose in any given month between keeping the lights on or putting food on the table. It was that hard. But we pushed through. And, you know, long story short, here I am. I'm so grateful for powerful women. But I did get involved. I say this a little tongue in cheek. My very first real job out of college, well, I guess second really, was in the pharmaceutical industry. So I saw it from the inside, and I was in communications. And so a low level management position wasn't bad, but I was working directly with the top execs in pharmaceuticals because of the nature of the position. And I saw a lot and heard a lot. That all I'll say right here, this is a whole story for another time, is that a lot of people's suspicions and concerns and anger in the drug industry is well-founded. I will put it that way right now. You're not wrong on your impressions of that industry. Now, there's some good people in there, don't get me wrong, but the industry is everything you think and more. I saw it from the inside. So then I had to work there for a while. You know, I was putting food on the table. It was the first, you know, one of the first real jobs out of school, had a young family. But I did find my way into, I finally was able to leave. Whole nother story, but I found my way into the natural health and wellness industry. And I, behind the scenes for a long time, develop some of the biggest names in health and wellness out there. So I'm still big today. So I was behind the scenes helping them. Well, I was at a crossroads or so years ago now, where I could do a lot of things. And I watched as these powerful women that had, you know, helped me and, you know, in some cases saved my life, they were getting... Even these strong women were getting impacted by a message. And the message goes, and it's very pervasive today still in our society, the message goes that getting older equals doom, that getting older equals becoming undesirable, incapable, doomed to suffering and disease. And once you hit 40, and you're, you know, amazingly, you know, you're in your 40s, once you hit 40, it's all downhill from here, and all the jokes, you know, in the party stores with the jokes over the hill and all that type of stuff. You know, the jokes all often have a real, you know, side that they're reflecting. That message is pervasive. It impacts men, but it definitely in our society impacts women in a far harder way even. And I watched as that pervading message even impacted these powerful women that saved me. And I'm like, you know what? By then I had been in health research for, you know, for many years, and I had worked closely with and helped build into well-known entities a lot of the, you know, very renowned MDs and researchers and all those types, you know, and organizations. I'm like, that myth does not at all jibe with the truth. The truth is that these are the best years of life, and they ought to be in every way, shape, and form, physically, mentally, emotionally. 40s is the real start of life. But these concepts are in the way, and they are definitely being taken to heart by, you know, a majority of people, including women, and they're ruining or harming their lives. And, you know, that's, I'm going to dedicate myself, whether I have one person listening to me or 500,000 today, I'm going to dedicate myself to putting out the evidence on what you could do today to ensure that these are the best years of your life, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond ought to be.
Harry, thank you so much for sharing your pain to purpose story, and also for dedicating your shift, this BS that we've been told. And I actually worked in pharmaceutical advertising. So on the market,
yeah, you know,
worked on the communication side from the inside out. I was working very closely with the teams on the communication side of pharmaceutical companies. And what I saw was a little bit of a disconnect between the truth and the message. And that's pretty much marketing in a nutshell, right? It's twisting the truth to provide a message that is compelling and going to cause people to take action. And that fear-based message has resonated throughout our marketing. Even in, you know, we have a client that we work with, Got Mold. Their former marketing agency, it kind of did them a disservice because all of their marketing was, you're going to die of mold toxicity. And now mold toxicity is a real thing, and it is scary in a lot of ways. But from a marketing perspective, look at a lot of the brands and messages that we've seen, you know, even for erectile dysfunction, you see people happily holding hands, watching the sunset in a bathtub. And that's, you know, the message that we've put forth for women. It's a lot of the same thing, you know, especially women my age, perimenopause. Oh my God, it's so scary. Your hormones are going crazy and you need to inject pellets into your butt and you need to, you know, rub all these creams on you and take hormones to manage your own. No, you just need to support your body in its magical and intuitive way of healing and regenerating itself. But let's go back to the beginning of your story, because a lot of people who are listening to this, including myself as the host, have had a very similar upbringing. Mm-hmm. Where, as kids, before our brains are even fully developed by the age of, you know, 25, 26 years old, we've experienced a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And our cells hold on to that trauma. And so by the time we are in our 40s, many of us do actually feel run down. And it may be contributed to the fact that we're being told that we are in a phase of life that is kind of at the end or at the middle of our life, and we should go through this midlife crisis and our bodies are breaking down. But that trauma that we experienced as younger people lives in our body, it lives in our cells. And so how did you make that jump across the chasm, not just for other people and in messaging, but physically for yourself?
That's a great question. Interestingly, by the way, in my, you know, later 20s, especially, I had mystery, especially gut-focused symptoms. And I went, you know, to all kinds of tests, all kinds of doctors and medical centers trying to figure out what it was. And, you know, was told, and it's true, I was at lactose intolerant, but there was a whole lot more. I addressed that and it didn't change anything really. I mean, I will say this, the punchline of my story is when I finally did, my gut issues were, you know, gone, not overnight, but in a very short period of time, actually, a lot was eliminated. You know, a lot of these symptoms were gone pretty darn quickly in me. So it was a lot of, it was a fair amount of work, and it's work you know, more than a dualistic nature. There's, you know, you want to address these from all sides. Everybody loves in these interviews, and I'm happy to give this because there's a lot of truth to very physical changes you can make, things you can do to improve, foods you can eat. Everyone loves hearing that, foods you want to avoid, foods you want to eat, you know, steps you want to take that are very physical. But the reality is you also, and this is what a lot of people don't like to hear, have to address the emotional aspect. It's vital. Okay. I was young. I mean, so I had not even wanted to address all of that. I wanted to just forget it. You know, what I had experienced. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately, you know. And so I did a lot of work where it was ultimately forgiveness work. And for me, the forgiveness work came with it. Doesn't mean, you know, someone's off the hook for anything that they did to you, said to you. But, you know, forgiveness, if we don't forgive, it doesn't harm that other person. It harms us, right? And so I had to do a lot of deep work, and I worked with different types of traditional and not so traditional therapists toward that end. And it was a combination. And by the way, that's a journey too. So I could go off on all kinds of tangents here, Lindsay. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying is a lot of people try a therapist. I'm like, it didn't work. It didn't work for me. Sorry, that's not working. No, you've got to also, it's a relationship. It's just like dating, right? You've got to find the right type of therapist that resonates with you. You know, and for me, a certain type, you know, definitely did, and some types did not, but I did find it pretty darn deep and found it in me to genuinely, and I do forgive, you know, my father, because that was the heart of the trauma for all he had done. And in my case, because I'm a very, you know, I'm a research geek. I'm a very mental person. I want to understand everything and inside and out. You know, I went back into his life. I'll give you the real short version of some things that he went through. He was basically a spy for the U.S. in World War II. And he saw so many things in World War II that he couldn't talk about. And he never did. I mean, you know, we've got little snippets here and there, pieces of that. One story that he did share to some extent, more so with my mother, because that was his, you know, his wife, was that he met, I think he even defined this to my mom at that point of his life when he was a young guy in the army as the love of his life, or the young of his young life. He met her. She was a soldier, too. Turns out she was a Russian spy, posing as a German. And they fell in love. And they were going to get married after the war, and then she was disappeared, and he never saw or heard from her again. So he had that to deal with, and he never did. Then fast forward in his life, he did get married to a woman. They got into an argument. She stepped out of the car, and he watched as a truck ran and killed her as she stepped out after an argument. So he didn't deal with that. Then he lost a 14-year-old son. My half brother that I never met, because I was only 3 years old, was killed. 14-year-old, his son from his marriage after that marriage was killed by getting hit by a car. And then he married my mom, is with her for 25 years, the last of his life, the last 25 years. So those are some of the key things that he had dealt with, right? And he never did. He never dealt with that trauma. That's tremendous trauma, because that's way back when it was, you got to be a crazy person if you're going to go to counselor or, a psychiatrist or whatever. These days, thank God, it's different. So he didn't deal with that. So for me, it was just like an understanding, like, I get it. Man, how do you deal with that when you're not dealing with that? And you're just trying to close the door on those things, right? So it helped me. But that's one style of therapy for someone who's very mentally focused like myself. And I said, I could say it right here today a million times over. I do forgive him. That's hard to deal with. And that doesn't give any kind of, permission to do things that were done or said, but I do forgive. And so when I held, let that all go inside of me, my world changed. And simultaneous to that, what I was getting to is I was starting to incorporate, starting to overcome some bad youthful habits, 20s, 30s, a lot of us have things, right? And I was also learning from the, from the other direction, in simultaneous to that, the physical things that I mentioned that we can change, starting to eat better, starting to, do the proper types of exercise and other factors as well. So, it was that combination. I found my way out of it, and it could just as so. And again, I had guidance. The social aspect was the largest of all. I had powerful women who were standing by me the whole time and saying, nope, you should thrive. You should thrive. Basically, I'm narrowing this and dumbing this down in a sense from all that was said and done. But, that factor, I'm just very fortunate after all that to be here thriving today, and everyone doesn't make that out of it, but they can. I just want people to know that if anyone's listening, and you've had harder experiences, and there's harder than I have, right? You can come out of that. And if you have unexplained symptoms, especially, so often this is the case, I just want to note that.
Yeah, it's amazing how the gut-brain connection is really a thing. Oh. That's been proven over and over again in scientific research. But then just the intuitive knowing that generational trauma can have an impact. They say that the mother's gut microbiome translates over to the child. And even when you're sleeping in bed with your partner, you're sharing microbiome. Even if you're not kissing or doing anything intimate, you are actually sharing the same microbiome, the same cellular composition. And it can actually change everything by just your partner making a shift. So your dad going through all that he did in order to get himself well was actually healing for you. And then everything that you've done is healing for your kids, not just for you and for your wife, but for your kids as well. And you mentioned gut health, because this is really foundational to all of longevity. And I'm sure you've seen this in your research and in your conversations with hundreds of MDs and doctors, and then also just with the over 500,000 people that are on your platform as members. They're thirsty for this knowledge, but it's almost so simple, because this is a very complicated industry that we're working in right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a new device, there's a new technology, there's a new gadget, widget, skincare company, supplement brand that's popping up almost every single day in the biohacking and longevity world. But the gut is so important. And a lot of people don't even look at their skincare as being potentially gut harming. You actually had a really funny Instagram post where you were saying, would you put this skincare in your mouth?
Yeah.
Would you swallow your skincare? You have to actually think about things in that way these days, because anything that you put on your skin, which is your largest organ in your body, gets immediately into your bloodstream. It's the same thing as ingesting it and having it go through your digestive system. All of those toxins are really impacting your gut. So I'd like to riff a little bit because you like to go on tangents. I like to go on tangents. Mm-hmm. And gut health is super, super important. And you've alluded to the fact like, yeah, you could eat a little bit better. But like, what's really vitally important for your gut health outside of obviously forgiveness, which is such a beautiful thing to acknowledge. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, having a better understanding, asking more intuitive questions of your parents, of your children, of your business partners, of anyone that you feel like you might be in conflict with, and being able to let that go. Outside of that, let's go into like the food side. I'm a Harvard certified culinary medicine chef, and so I love the food side of it. But let's talk about that cross section of gut and food and optimization.
One of the things, if somebody said, what's one of the most vital things of all, you know, for my gut health, I'd say today, given that most people are not getting enough fiber. So, you know, it's not the world's sexiest, most amazingly interesting, awesome topic, but it's true. We're getting, as we, a general population, are eating far less fiber than we need to be eating. And fiber is essential for your gut health. I mean, everybody thinks of regularity with fiber. And yes, that's true. And that alone is a reason enough. But fiber is a detoxifying agent in a huge way, one of the, you know, most amazing you could, you know, consume, really. And it is food. Part of it, you know, is really strong food, quote unquote, you know, for all those bacteria, the good bacteria in your gut, and the, you know, fungi and everyone else that's in there, you know. So what is the microbiome? You know, it's these trillions and trillions of organisms. There's supposed to be a balance where there's a lot of good ones, you know, working on your behalf, like you said, that impact your brain health, your heart health as well, your skin health. It's, you know, and it's all this two-way street. And the more we find out about, you know, microbiome, the more, you know, the Hippocrates, you know, noted that the, you know, good health starts in the gut, I believe, right? I mean, and we're like, wow, that dude was right. You know, that was thousands of years ago. And it's true as can be, and we're finding ever more so true. It's key for immunity. Well, if you're not getting nearly enough fiber, that is probably one of the first changes I would say for people to make. You just got to consume more fiber. How do you do that? You know, that is plant foods, you know, that there is not, you know, I don't want to get into the discussion of meat, not meat, and all that type of stuff, because I know it's a contentious area, but I will tell you, you're not going to go wrong by eating more plant-based foods, you know, for the fiber content aspect. You're not going to go wrong for extending the variety of foods you eat. Now, you know, someone with your expertise, you probably see this, Lindsay, is that even many health-conscious people tend to consciously start focusing in only on eating a diet that might consist of 10 foods routinely, 9 foods, 8 foods, you know, 11, 15 foods. That is something that, you know, it's better than eating a bunch of horrible processed foods, but it's not nearly as good as extending the breadth of the types of foods you eat to, you know, I think this research showed 30 is kind of a magic number on that front. So are you eating on a weekly basis 30 different foods, you know, a week? And that's like, oh, that's really hard to do. And it is, but it includes fun things like herbs and spices, which I highly advocate. The pill, they're the magic pill that everyone's looking for, meaning a small dose goes a long way. Routinely eating them, adding them to your foods and cooking with them, you don't have to have a massive amount of these things. You know, it just has to be a steady diet of a number of different herbs, which is awesome because you're a chef. You know, they add magic to foods, right? You know, and you could do so much with them. So you want that range for the, you know, polyphenols and all the other amazing compounds that are in these, you know, natural foods. So fiber range of diet is huge. And I would also say, and you brought it up earlier, I don't think people still are nearly aware enough of the toxic component and how we are just over consuming from every angle toxins today. I always want to caveat this discussion with, listen, if you're worried about anything at all that I'm bringing up, any steps that anyone brings up, the worry is worse than any recommendations we're making. What I'm saying is, if you feel like this is overwhelming, I can't make all these changes, you don't have to make all these changes. Just start making one, you know, and they, oh, by the way, tend to snowball, right? I don't want anyone worried that they're not doing everything that we're discussing here today, or that people discuss with you in general, Lindsay. Don't go down that path. Any change you make is a positive. That said, you're not going to free all toxins from your life, but it's pretty easy, given other steps, to reduce the toxins in your life in a very rapid way and a major way by making they're kind of the lowest hanging fruit changes you can make out of a lot of health steps. You want to change your diet from ultra processed foods, obviously, to, you know, healthier foods. But that it's easier said than done. You want to do it, but it's more effort, more work if you're someone who's, you know, heavy duty in the processed food world. You want to stop sitting so much and exercise a lot more. Easy said, you know, it takes time and effort to make that transition. But when it comes to toxins, which are harming our guts in a massive way and our skin and, you know, us, again, we're holistic beings. And so any harm it makes on our skin harms the rest of us. Any harm it makes inside of us harms our skin and the rest of us. We're all connected, right? So the point is, toxins are probably the easiest major step you can take to remove the bad from your life and put good in that will have a massive impact on your health, and it's low-hanging fruit. And I can go deep on any area of toxins you want here. It's a passion topic, as you know, of mine, but I'll shut the heck up for a moment here and let you kick the floor.
You reminded me, actually, this is so funny. Do you know the Scrubbing Bubbles commercial?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you know how, like, those little guys go around? At the Harvard School of Public Health course that we did, it's called Healthy Kitchens, Healthy Lives. It's actually out in Napa at the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America. It's a beautiful facility. So it's all these doctors get to go and get continuing ed credits. It's like a 4 or 5 day program. We're all out there. We go into the kitchen. It's so cool. And one of the teachers brought up the Scrubbing Bubbles commercial while we were in the kitchen. I'm like, well, this is a weird thing to talk about during, you know, a cooking lesson at the CIA. Fiber is like those little bubble scrubbers. They scrub your gut. So all those toxins get stuck to the lining of your digestive tract. They erode them. They make it so that we can't actually, when we're eating really good food, we can't actually get all the benefits of the nutritional value of those foods. It's almost like putting a bunch of cement on the walls, and that cement is eroding the good stuff, all of the receptors of all of the good nutrition. So those scrubbing bubbles, that fiber, goes in and scrubs your gut. Now, as a population, and again, this was like in 2019, but back then as a population, we were significantly malnourished when it came to fiber. I think only like 12% of the U.S. population was actually getting enough fiber in their diet. And that could be, you know, the older people that are told to take Metamucil as a dietary supplement. And what's the intention of something like Metamucil, right? It's to get them to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
Because relieving your bowels is actually a form of detoxing. So I didn't think we were going to be talking about poop here. As I am in cougar puberty, as my husband lovingly calls it, and going through perimenopause, our bowels stop moving. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a hormone imbalance, so women of my age and a little bit older, your bowels stop moving. And so this is the time to start to increase your fiber intake. And again, to your point, like, my grandfather wasn't the healthiest eater, but he lived until he was 98. He ate a lot of fiber. He did not drink alcohol. He didn't do any drugs. He was a rock star musician. He was an amazing musician who performed 3 weeks before he died.
Wow, that's cool.
So this is his last performance.
Yeah.
But he would wake up every day and he loved his life. And so I'm going to connect that to your final point, which you made, which is don't stress yourself out trying to make these changes. Hmm. You know, make them slowly, a little bit at a time. Get a coach. Get rid of the toxic people in your life first, maybe. The people that are causing you stress. That's the first form of detox that I had to go through, like during my divorce, during the pandemic, during, you know, even just owning a business. You have to kind of get rid of the people that are dragging you down, that are holding you in a place of stress, anxiety, and lack, because all that cortisol that's being released into your body is just doing more damage. That's the worst toxin you could possibly have in your body. And then slowly start to get rid of the other crap. You know, get rid of the seed oils, get rid of the alcohol, get rid of the sugar. Oh my gosh, the sugar, especially in our teenagers these days. I've got four daughters, two 14-year-olds, 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And they're the healthiest eaters of all of their friends. You know, they're on the field hockey team, field eating like the seaweed snacks and other things that I've given them to eat, and like carrot sticks. They're not eating they're not drinking the Celsius cans. They're not eating the gummy bears and the other stuff that the rest of their team is. It's an amazing transition, and it doesn't have to be that difficult when you just start to add some dark leafy greens into your, you know, your everyday meal. And yes, chef for the country of Australia. I cook their grass-fed beef and lamb. Meat is a whole other conversation, but you have to have both. I think it's a balance. You have to eat what you like, use a lot of herbs and spices to make it flavorful, make it taste good, and also make it easier to digest. And then when you're eating like these vegetables, you know, there's something to be said about the fiber content, the soluble versus the dietary fiber that can help scrub your gut like those scrubbing bubbles did too. Right. So you've made this all of these transitions in your own life, and now you're bringing people onto your platform. So what kind of information are you sharing on your platform? Is it nutrition based? Is it, you know, biohacking? Are you telling everybody to go sit in front of a red light panel or sit on a PEMF machine? Like what's the hottest topics on right now?
Yeah, hottest topics. Interesting. My thought, first of all, I'm going to give you my thought on hottest topics is, it's always fun and interesting to follow, but it's not necessarily where you want to be, right? You want to be where you're going to make the most positive change in your life. And I always spend a fair amount of energy bringing it to some things that have gone out, but are still extremely verified by science. Right. And, you know, so it is fun to follow those things. I have no problem with that, but yeah, what the art of anti-aging is all about is evidence-based, like, and not drug and not surgery. And I'm not completely, by the way, opposed to drugs and surgery. I never want to give that impression. I would tell you, you know, certainly drugs have done some good, but I think they're incredibly overprescribed. And people think of healthcare. Most people today sadly think of healthcare and they think pharmaceuticals, or they think procedures, you know, surgical procedures. That's not healthcare, right? You know, so my whole take is, I don't even consider myself necessarily a biohacker. I love biohackers and I can talk shop with biohackers all day, but for me, I'm like, you know what? What I'm trying to give people is what can they do right now? Not what might work, what will work potentially down the line in the future, which is all fascinating to me. But, you know, those following me tend to be, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, even beyond. And they want to know, what can I do right now that's going to make a difference? So everything I give is about that. Like, this is shown to help you. Here's why, here's what it can do. So it's on various fronts, but you brought up red light. That's super hot right now. Of course it is. Of course it is. And you know, these things are, you know, they sound cutting edge and new, but red light has been around since the universe, meaning it's coming from our sun, and it's just an understanding now of what, you know, this form of nutrition, and that's really what, you know, light is in itself and its different spectrums, what this form of nutrition can do for us. And then it's a recognition of, oh my gosh, you know, we always tend to swing way in the opposite direction with things, and we go too far the other way when we learn something. And so here's what happened. And this is my real lowdown version with red light therapy, you know, is, oh, wow, the sun causes cancer, you know, hide, you know, from the outside, go inside. And, you know, so it pushed us even more inside, and we were already inside far too much. And now we're not getting enough, you know, red light there. Red light works. It's true. You got to be careful. I'm not going to get into the deep discussion of the right and wrong devices to choose. Be sure they're safe, all that good stuff. But red light works because it's just natural, and it's going to work, and it's going to help our mitochondria, you know, and that's why sometimes it almost sounds like snake oil to people. Red light helps for this. What it's really helping is the mitochondria in your body, which is the, you know, base level of the cells. So it is going to have all kinds of good benefits for you if done well, and it's just natural. And this is what I love seeing now, like, you brought up thinking, you like, I have 25 plus years in all of this, pretty deep, right? And I'm like, the coolest thing that I see is also sometimes the most frustrating, and it's this, is that there are things that have been known to cultures and medicinal systems like Ayurveda and Chinese for eons. And science just keeps, you know, finally finding its way, you know, and it says, oh, that's true. And it verifies these things that have been known for eons. So when I first started out in all this, people were saying, you're a quack. Not me, but those I was trying to help. You're a quack because you're claiming that food is dirty and that processed foods are that bad for you. Nonsense. So that's only, you know, 20 some years ago. And they're saying, you're a quack. And then today, nobody would say you're a quack for saying ultra processed foods are pretty horrible, right? And I've seen this, you know, like, all of these things that people are called quacks for earlier on are eventually, like, you know, verified. They might not have it exactly right at first, but then you start to, you know, the science does start to, you know, level out and say, well, actually, there's some validity to this and this and this. I was talking about herbs and spices. These things are little power packs of medicine that are anti-cancer, antiviral. They're loaded. Nature still knows what it's doing far more than any human being in a lab coat. And that's why for me, I kind of look to all that and then I say, all right, you know, and then what's research showing now? And that's what I really like to present to people is, like, you know, my eye toward ancient history and then watch the research. I'm a geek. I read white papers. It's a weird thing, right? You know, but I love it. And I'll bring to people, you know, the facts showing, okay, here's why I'm saying you probably want to eat more cloves. They're not just for sticking in ham at the holidays. You know, this comes to mind because I literally will chew on cloves. Why? They're loaded with a compound called eugenol, E-U-G-E-N-O-L. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Eugenol. And they're potent as can be anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory agents, and it little goes a long way. Things like that. And I'll present that to people. So it's not so much categorized, you know, great question about the art of anti-aging. It's more about what really works and why.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Because So you have so much there, and we could talk for hours about all of this, but it is frustrating in this industry. I mean, the first day that I spent at Dave's biohacking conference in 2023, I was so overwhelmed and also so frustrated that none of these healing devices or modalities were mainstream.
Right.
Because, again, like, people look at this industry and say, oh, it's a bunch of quacks, or it's a bunch of woo-woo people. It's a bunch of people, you know, like, smoking patchouli oil and, you know, rubbing themselves in methylene blue. And they're not 100% wrong. But just like when I first got into the ad tech industry, there's always going to be, which was in 2001. It was kind of like in the middle of the bubble, right before the bubble burst.
Yeah.
You know, I was working for a company that had fake websites up and were reselling opt-out data on the back end. This is before CAN-SPAM compliance. This is before regulation. And we're kind of in an industry that's half got one leg in the regulatory side, you know, really cares a lot about FDA approval. And that's more of like the cryotherapy and the hyperbaric oxygen therapy and the more aggressive, potentially more dangerous modalities, if not used properly, could end up hurting people. You know, similarly to the tech industry back in the day, there was a lot of people who were just getting into the industry because they saw an opportunity for selling a product or selling a service or selling something that would just make them a quick buck. Oh, well, all of these people are sick and they're, you know, they want to live forever. They're looking at Brian Johnson and he's spending $2 million a year on biohacking, blah, blah, blah. And I want to do his thing. So I'm going to take these 25 supplements and I'm going to sit in a cold plunge and I'm going to do all these things. but they're foundationally not doing the things that they do. They're not taking care of their mental health. They're not getting sunlight first thing in the morning. They're sitting in front of a screen all day. They're not moving their bodies. They're eating stuff out of a box or a bag or a can. Yeah. And you know, they have toxic relationships with their loved ones or their business partners. And so I love what you're doing. And that's why I was saying it's so beautiful, because you're really educating people on how to live life to its fullest. And it's not overly complicated. And this industry is wrought with potential. And it is frustrating. And it's one of the reasons why I started the Biohacking Index, to bring unbiased third-party ratings and reviews from a panel of over 110,000 doctors and clinic owners who are using some of these technologies that are not being sold on Amazon. So you can't just go to Amazon and say, oh, I'd like a $8,000 hyperbaric oxygen chamber in my basement. And, there's no $8,000 hyperbaric oxygen chambers for sale on Amazon. But before you do that, before you invest that money, whether you're a clinic owner or you're just a person who's looking to optimize their health, you have to do the research.
Yep.
I think this is the shift that technology, AI is starting to have, the impact that it's starting to have on our future generations and even us as, you know, older people in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We have access to way more information and way more efficacious research. We just have to be our own advocates and discoverers in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And that is the real definition, I think, of a strong woman, a strong person in general, is not just taking information and marketing messages at face value, saying, well, how is this drug going to impact me? How is this surgery going to impact my life in the long term?
Right, right.
Exactly. The red light panel going to help me optimize my health if I'm doing nothing else, right? We're all looking traditionally in the past for a magic pill and for something that we can just take and magically we're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. That's just not the case. Mm-hmm. And so you have amassed a list of over 500,000 people, which I think it should be more than 10 million people on your list. And hopefully it will be soon. Mm-hmm. Because the message is not there's one thing for one issue. The message is, here is information that's easy to understand, so that you can make some small shifts in your life that are going to swing the big door of positive change, right? Small hinges swing the big door of positive.
That's right.
You don't have to change everything to change everything.
Right.
And so I am really grateful to you for all of your work. And the last question I have for you is, what's next for you? You have an amazing skincare brand. You have this incredible platform. You know, what are you doing? What are you working on next, Brian?
I'm going to go out to my garden and do some gardening, actually. No, that's just me personally. That's a passion of mine. You know, things that technology focuses on are corrections to things that, you know, we are supposed to be doing. And, you know, it's lifestyle choices we're making that push us far away from doing those things. That's really the bottom line. Okay, so you're probably one of most startling and oh my God statistics, if people understand it, is that we spend 93% of our life indoors. And if you understand health and well-being, you know that that's terrible. We are meant to be in the daytime outside far, far, far more. I can't recall exactly, but as I read or heard in the 1950s, we spent half of our life outside. And if you look back further in human history, we spent most of the daylight hours outdoors. So it's kind of a reverse, right? That alone is a huge problem. Hence the need for, you know, cleaner air that we're not getting from the outside. Hence the need for, you know, light adjustments that we're not getting from, you know, this top nutrition source of ours called the sun, because we're not exposed to it. You know, a million other things. So the point is that a lot of the supplements to gadgets, and some are good. Don't get me wrong. Some are great. Some work, because we do live in this world today, but they're all adjustments to, you know, to the way we ought to be doing things like that. And you're 100% right. The solutions are the major solutions, the small hinges that lead to the big, you know, openings, the big door openings, are simple. They are simple. We said, you know, they're simple to understand, at least, right? We brought one up, fiber. All right. You know, breadth of food, the amount of foods. Go have fun and shop, you know, at the grocery store and try a whole bunch of different, you know, good for you foods on a weekly basis just to see. It's a fun thing to do. You know, we need more fun in our lives. That's a huge one, by the way, that people ought to get more of. Don't downplay the importance of fun, everybody. It's super vital for you. Anyway, next thing on my list is that's probably a small hinge opening a door to a big conversation, maybe a next conversation, because I have been focused on, well, listen, why do so many people today know so many of the right steps to do, and yet they're not able to stick to doing them? I think we're more educated than at any time in history on the right things that we ought to be doing. I think more people know the basics. Like you, I have four kids. You know, I have a 20-year-old. And I think that, I guess he's been exposed to me, but any given 20-year-old can tell you the essentials. I know I should not be eating all these processed foods. I know I probably should be eating more vegetables. You know, the basics. I know if they're not getting enough, like, activity, I should be getting more activity. Like, we really have penetrated, not everybody, but we've reached many people. Most young adults even know the essentials. If they were able to do them, we wouldn't have all these chronic disease issues we have, but we don't. They're not able to do that. Why? I've been focused on that. I found a lot of answers on why, and it's got to do with, long story short, impulse control. We are in a position now, uniquely, we haven't faced this as human history, where we have attention fatigue, decision fatigue, and we are constantly, unfortunately, a we entity as a group, far more stressed, far more in angst, far more overwhelmed, far more brain fog than we've ever been. And this is because of we've got near 24/7 access of the outside world pounding at us. The internet being by far the primary culprit here. And you're doing good in the world, and this is a healthy thing for people, you know, to be listening to. But so much of what people are exposing themselves to out there without even thinking about it are draining us of our ability to think clearly and calmly and make calm decisions. We're in a state, like you said, of excess cortisol, fight, flight, sympathetic nerve always turned on. You can't make sound decisions. You're in a state. When you're in that state, and we almost are always in that state today versus any other time in history, we're almost always in that state as a collective. You're going to make decisions that are very short-sighted, impulse-driven. I want it now versus what's the right thing to do for my long-term health. So we are making poor decisions, even though we know better today, because of that. So that's where I'm going to, you know, show, you know, and give people very practical steps, you know. So you asked, and that's the answer. I'm going down that avenue. Yeah.
I love it. I can see a decision state playbook.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
And they're very physical things you can do to make it, you know, that less the case for yourself, to make yourself less vulnerable, I guess we'll say, to all of these, you know, you're being targeted. I mean, intentionally targeted. Social media, again, there's good. You're wonderful. And I love, you know, what you're doing, Lindsay. And I hope people enjoy what I'm doing. We're kind of doing the same thing, which is trying to fight the good fight for people. But there's so many entities out there on social media that, honestly, I'm just going to put it real straight, just really want to manipulate you, you know, not for some big conspiracy theory. They just, at the end of the day, want to break you down and get your money. I mean, and that's the way it works, right? But if you understand what's going on and you take steps to defend yourself against that, you're going to make far more sound decisions, and you're going to be able to implement all these changes that you already know are good for you far more effectively. So yeah, that's kind of the bottom line of it.
I love this.
Yeah.
I've loved our conversation today. Everything from having a better understanding of your parents' trauma so that you can help heal and you can forgive so that you can start your own healing process, to small hinges that swing a big door of positive change. And now this eye-opening awaken process so that you can really be in a state to optimize your health and longevity with power and with vision for our future collectively And that's just an amazing, amazing story of not just resilience, but also passion and purpose from pain. And now in the future, let's all get back outside in our gardens and let's open up our eyes to new possibilities. Let's really see things for what they are and not for what the messages, the marketing messages are saying. Brian Baisley, you are leading that charge. So I'm really grateful for having you here today. Thank you so much. Everybody go to his website, theartofantiaging.com, and stay tuned for a lot of amazing things coming out from Brian Baisley. Thank you so much for joining me today, Brian.
Oh, I love what you're doing. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.